You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Philippians chapter 1, I don't have this for you on the screen. I really kind of wanted to just leave notes and stuff like that out of it today and just share a heart-to-heart talk with you. Philippians chapter 1, and it says this in verse 3, and this is Paul writing to the Philippian church from which he started, that he, along with a team of other apostles, had a hand in creating and starting the Philippian church. And he says this at the beginning of his letter. He says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." And I love that heart. I love that heart Paul is saying, that every time I think about you, I just, man, thanksgiving feelings just go to God. And really, as a pastor's heart that Paul is having here, I relate to that, because I really feel that in my heart as well with you guys at this church. And Paul goes on to say, "Always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel." Some of your translations may use the word relationship in the gospel. "From the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way, for you are all partakers with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." In other words, you guys have been with me through thick and thin, Paul is saying, good times and bad times. We have just had a relationship that has proved itself to remain, and he's thankful for that. He says, "And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." Listen to Paul's heart just for the church right there, for every life. "Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Let's pray. Having read that, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray today that we would do more than just hear, Lord, but that we would allow what we hear to become our life. God, to become who we are. Lord, we want to live out your word. Jesus, you said so many times in the Gospels, "If you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, do what I say." Lord, we want to do what it is that you say here to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, I love this. I'm sorry, 6. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You know, I love that verse. I think many of us sing that verse. There used to be a song, Don Moen. Anybody remember Don Moen used to lead Hosanna Sees? "He who began a good work in you, he who began a good..." Remember that song? Y'all don't know if you don't know that song. That's powerful. Amen. You know, I love that song. We sung that song. That's a scripture that usually finds its way on pictures and paintings and anything else that we can engrave it into and put on a house or anywhere. I've seen people tattoo that thing on their neck. No, I've not, but not on a neck. But you know what I'm saying? I have seen it in a tattoo form. It's a scripture that is one of those feel good scriptures, you know. It just, my goodness, it ministers to you, you know, to know that God is always ready and adamant to complete the work that he started in you. He's into finish lines as much as he is into starting blocks. How many are thankful that God is interested in you and I finishing in what it is that we do, in the work of salvation, as well as the individual works that he wants to do in our lives on a day-to-day basis, you know? And I love that scripture. Having said that, I also believe, and I put myself into this for many, many years, that this is probably one of the most misunderstood scriptures. that there are in the Bible. In that, I think sometimes we see a scripture like that, and it's easy to get the impression that God is the one who makes the work complete, and that's it, as if he's the one that's doing the work for you, as if we don't require any effort in the process ourselves. And can I just say, I don't think that's what that scripture is trying to say. I believe this scripture is putting a light, a beautiful, bright light on the faithfulness of God and his part in it all. That God is so connected to you, and he's so connected to me, that he wants to do his part to see things through in your life. However, that doesn't eliminate or erase the part that we play in seeing the work finished as well. See, God isn't interested in doing things for you so much as he's interested in doing things with you. See, God doesn't give you a dream and then he just, now you stay there and I'll do it all for you. God wants to go along the journey with you hand in hand. Let's together bring the dream that I put in you to life. God wants to do things with you. And I think we read that scripture and we go, well, God will do his part and it'll be great. But hear me, God will do his part. But if you want to see a dream fulfilled, if you want to see a goal line finished, you also must do your part. And that applies, I think, very fittingly in this season that we find ourselves in today, where we sit between the end of a year and the beginning of a next. And usually it's around this time where we feel the need, I do at least, to be nostalgic and look back, you know, at the beginning of the year, January 1, right? Where we all set out to do new beginnings and we create these goals and we even pray about them, we write them down, what dreams, resolutions, whatever you want to call them, and we go, I'm going to accomplish this in this new year. And many of us set our 2018 out to do just that. I'm going to do this goal. I'm going to make this resolution happen. I'm going to get to this dream. And we get to the point now we're here, we're at the end of the year, and we look back and, you know, did you do it? Did you see the work that you set out to do completed? Did you see the goal that you set out to accomplish happen? Did you meet your resolution? Did you see a dream fulfilled this year that you set out to do? And usually around this time, if you've been a part of Journey Church for any length of time that would be, you know, over a couple of years, you know that usually it's this Sunday, the last Sunday of the year, where I preach this type of message, where it's if you set out to accomplish your goals, and you set out to accomplish a dream, or you set out to accomplish a resolution, and maybe you're here at the end, and you did, allow me to say congratulations. I say this every year, and let me say it again. If you set out to do that, and maybe there's people in this room, you had a goal at January 1, and you met it. Maybe you had a dream at January 1, and you've met that dream this year. Maybe you had a resolution January 1, and you accomplished it. If you did that, congratulations on that. Matter of fact, I think we all should just say a big congratulations to all the met goals, dreams, and resolutions in our lives this year. And as you hear this applause, let it just be encouraging to you. Congratulations on that. I mean that. Because I believe there are that in this room. I also believe there perhaps could be some unmet goals and some unmet resolutions that maybe have dropped off along the way, maybe around the third week of January, you know, or March, or midsummer, or whenever it was, and maybe we sit here today with unmet dreams in our hands that we didn't see happen yet. And this is where Pastor comes up and says to every unmet dream and every unmet goal and unmet resolution, this is where I come up and I give a message on persistence, and I say, don't give up, don't stop. You know, for any goal to be met, for any dream to be accomplished, for any resolution to be fulfilled, you must be a persistent person, someone that embraces a spirit that doesn't give up. You're going to have obstacles to every goal and dream. If you get knocked down, don't see it as a knockout. Get back up. Keep going. You must not stop. And I start giving you quotes. You know, I preach, I'll give you Michael Jordan quotes. I'll even show nature's illustration of this truth, you know, with ant hills. And you knock over an ant hill that ants are trying to build. What do? After it's knocked over, they just rebuild. They don't convene and go, what are we going to do? They just start building again. They're the definition of persistence. And I say, don't be outdone by an ant. Come on. We must be people of persistence. Then I'll open up Luke 17 and preach on the parable, the persistent widow. We must not give up. Because I believe that's why many dreams aren't reached. Many goals aren't accomplished. Many resolution finish lines aren't crossed because we give up. Persistence. So I was getting ready to write a message, as I normally have, on persistence being the necessary agent to see a goal reached, to say, take those unmet goals and bring them into 2019 and dominate them there. But as I was getting ready to prepare a message for that, I felt kind of like my heart going a different direction. That maybe when I'm praying, maybe the problem isn't persistence in your life. Maybe the reason you're not accomplishing your dreams and goals and resolutions in your life isn't a problem of persistence. Maybe you are embracing persistence, but yet it's still not happening, and things are still just at a stalemate in certain areas of your life, and you're just wondering what's going on. You're still running. You're still going. Why isn't it working? And I just didn't feel a peace to go at persistence to be that reason. Instead, I just kind of heard this word in my spirit when I was praying, kind of at the forefront of my mind's eye. Maybe the problem isn't persistence. Maybe it's capacity. And here's what I mean when I say that. Maybe the problem in your life is capacity. Certainly you've seen this illustration before. We use this as an illustration the beginning of this year in our wholeness series. This vessel here serves to represent you and I. We're just clay vessels. How many know what I'm talking about? From dust we've come, to dust we will go. Like, we're just earthen clay vessels. And in your life, there's a capacity. There's a limit to what you can have in your life. And that's it. Right? Because this is us. And we kind of use this sermon at the beginning of the year to illustrate that God wants to pour into you his life, his love, his grace, his mercy, who he is. And I always used water, you know, which is always kind of one of those symbolic things you see in the Bible that just talk about the life of God. God wants to pour into you who he is, his life-giving power and resource. And if God wants to pour that into you, how many know we should be making as much room as possible for that life and resource? That if God's going to give me his life and resource for the purpose of accomplishing the visions and the dreams and the goals that he put in my life, that's the only way I can get to a dream or a goal, is through what it is that he gives me. His life, it's his power that I draw that from. And so he wants to pour that into me. But I feel like many of us are limiting the amount of life that God can pour into us because we have things in our life that are taking up space. Meaning, if I want to get to a dream, the only way I can get to that dream is to resource what God has poured into my life to get there. But if I've got things in my life that are in there that shouldn't be there, I'm limiting myself on what it is that I can draw from with God. See, I think some of us, it's a problem of capacity. There are things in your life that are taking up space that really shouldn't be there. They're taking up space that should be occupied by the life of God. But really, it's something else. And some of you are like, what is this stuff? These are Asia's blocks. Your pastor is a parent of a toddler. These are the illustrations that we're going to use on this low budget. Amen. All right. Right? But it's just these things take up space. So if with these in there, and I start pouring water in there to the brim, how many know if I took them out, I could receive more water? I could take in more space, more of God into my life that I could lean on to be the resource to take me to the visions and the dreams and the goals he has for my life. believe it's a problem of capacity maybe with some of you. Some of the things in your life are what is holding you back from getting where God wants you to go. And maybe it's not just things. Maybe it's some of the people in your life. Maybe this block just doesn't serve to be a habit. But maybe this is a person, a relationship, that's serving to be no good for you, that's serving to be no spiritual benefit to your life whatsoever, and it's taking up space, and it's serving to be the blockade, no pun intended, to what it is that God wants to accomplish in and through your life. What is it? What is it that's in your life that needs to come out of your life so that God can pour more of himself into your life and get you to the dreams and goals he created for your life? Come on, somebody. That was good. I hope you wrote that down because I don't remember what I just said. What is it in your life that you need to let go of so that you can get to where it is he created you to go? You know, when I was saved, at the age of 15, y'all know I was saved in a Pentecostal church, our neighbors. And, you know, that church, I love that church. It's a great church. I honor that church. Many of you don't even know, but before we bought this building, I sought the blessing of that church. I said, I will not buy this property unless I see a written blessing given to us from the board and the pastor and leadership of that church. Because we're not here to try and steal people or anything like that. And they, absolutely, they gave us a letter. We love to have a neighbor in Journey Church, and it's been great. And I got saved in that church. And when I got saved in that church, you know, I was 15 years old. I didn't have much of a church background. And the youth group, see, I wish we saw this more. But this was during a time when, you know, like this youth group, when the gospel was preached, it didn't feel good coming in. This is one of those like areas where the gospel hurt coming in. It hurt to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Like where it's just like God required things of you. Come on, somebody. I mean, we live in a world today where it just everybody has to feel good with a sermon. And this is one of those, they didn't feel good at all. Sin! Right? You had to use the on the end of words, you know what I'm saying? It's just, but it was powerful for me. I remember when I got saved, it was like a few weeks later, they had what they called a tape burning service. You know what I'm saying? Like music tapes. I'm dating myself a little bit here. But like if some of you got music that's of the world. They call it secular. And it's not doing any good for your life. So if you've got music in your life that is not serving to be a spiritual benefit for you, bring that tape. And we're going to burn it in a barrel before the presence of the Lord. And so I was like, man, I got all kinds of tapes. I didn't have any church background, you know. So they're like, what do you got? They were telling me. I was like, I don't know if I should tell you, you know. But I always said, you know, it's just relationships. So I started talking about what I had. You know, I got some good albums here. I got Red Hot Chili Peppers albums, 92, 91, right? Metallica, the Black Album, which I think is the greatest album ever put out. Anybody? One person with me, amen. Two, all right, here we go. It's a powerful album, man. Pearl Jam's albums, and I wasn't just in the rock. Don't label me just rock. I had Cypress Hill and Tupac and Bloods and Crips. I had it all. Wicked, wicked, era. I was awesome, y'all. Like, I had it all. And so, MC Light, y'all don't know. Anyway, I had all these tapes and a couple CDs because that was new then, man. It was awesome. I'm like, what? This is crazy. But remember like when the tape would like come out of the tape and the only you could get fixed is a pencil you put in there? Nothing to do with this. Anyway, so they're just like, burn it before the Lord. And I remember bringing all those tapes and burning them. And I remember burning Metallica, the Black Album. It was like the whole band was going, whoa, you know, like while they're burning in the fire. And it was. I was just like, why do I got to do this, you know? And they told me, they're like, listen, you know, you have to, and they would give me some reason, some answer, and it all really had to do with this theme, capacity. You got to clear the way for God to have his way in every area of your life. And they told me this, like, you're attaching your heart to some of these things that are really doing no spiritual good for your life. And you know what? They were absolutely right. Like, and hear me, I've since repurchased some of those albums, right? But I can also tell you this, I've since not repurchased some of those albums. Because some of those albums and some of those songs really did serve to be detrimental to my spiritual life. Some of those songs, when I'd hear it, would allow me to hold on to anger. It's crazy how music can be such an influence in that manner. Like, it would allow me to hold on to hate for certain things and people and moments, you know? And they're just, even Metallica, some, I won't, you know, like, there's that song Unforgiven from the Black Album. Remember that song? And it's just like, I can't listen, you know, because I'm not unforgiven. Don't dub me that. I'm forgiven by the grace of God. And so it was just, what messages am I clearing the way, the capacity? And then as if they weren't done with the tapes. It was, now let's go to the relationships you've got in your life. I mean, I remember the first thing I was told on the drive home after I got saved was, you've got to redefine the relationships you have in your life, because there are some relationships in your life that are detrimental to your life. And I'd say, like, who? And they say, well, let's just go through your friends right now. You know, name some of your friends. What do you do with these guys? What's your relationship with this guy? And I'm like, oh, we party all the time. You know, we drink, promiscuity with people and parties and all the things that I started. They said, listen, you, if you want to get to something new, you have to let go of something old. And I think that's where we lose sight in the church today. We think, and there's a powerful message in that, we think we can hold on to both. And can I tell you, there's not room for both. You can't, it's going to take up space. You got to let go of one. Jesus even said that. You can't hold on to the hand of God and the hand of the world at the same time. You got to let go of one or the other, because they're pulling you. And many people, I believe, in the church just feel that pull, just stretching you to a level where you're going to be forced to let go of one. And many times we let go of the harder one, and we go with what's easier. And so they said, redefine your relationships. Get the people out of your life that are no good for your life. So I had to make a phone call to the people I hung with. And I'm 15, but these, to a 15-year-old, these were my ride-or-die homies. You don't understand. So I was like, I call them and I say, listen, we can't hang no more. And they'd be like, why? I was like, because what we do when we hang out. And so I know I'm not strong enough to go to these parties anymore. I know I'm not strong enough to go into these atmospheres and environments and be strong. I know I'm not. If I go, I know I'll succumb to temptation and I'll end up falling. So listen, I've got to redefine how we hang out. They said, well, how are we supposed to hang out? I was like, if you want to hang out with me, I'll be at the church. And it's interesting. You know, you put just a need in your life on that, how many real friends you really have. How they walk away with no care in the world for me or my life or where I want to go. And so it was really interesting to make these decisions. But and it wasn't just that. I mean, they taught me in my church, you know, just like, thoughts, mindsets. You know, I'm a 15-year-old boy. I didn't grow up in church. You know, culture has this view on how we're raised to view women almost as objects. And it's all about sensuality and promiscuity. And it's just, and they taught me, no, that's not right. You are not to view women as objects. They are daughters of God. You honor and you respect them when you're in their presence. How many know we need more of that in the world today? We need to quit allowing the message of the world to infect our view of each other, of the opposite sex. I mean, it's insane what it is that we allow ourselves to do and how we view people. And so they were like, you can't be like that. And then they started teaching me 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, which I memorized as a 15-year-old. I still know to this day. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Meaning that there are thoughts that the enemy is going to put and plant in your mind that aren't going to be from God. Matter of fact, they're going to be dangerous thoughts. Thoughts can be, that can bring destruction. And it says that we have the ability, that's why I love that scripture, we have the ability to take those thoughts by the neck and say, what are you doing here? Right? As soon as they make their way in, hey, what are you doing here? You ain't supposed to be here. This ain't how I'm supposed to think. This ain't how God created me to think. You got to go. You see, I think this is where we and let me just give you some instruction on the nature of sin. The enemy will always put a thought in, and I think sometimes we feel guilty for the thought. And can I tell you, don't feel guilty for the thought. That's the enemy shooting it like an arrow at your mind. Right? Here's where it becomes sin. What do you do with that thought once it comes in? Because if you allow the thought to stay, then it becomes sin. When you allow a thought that is not good in nature, like a thought of hate towards someone, a thought of lust towards someone, a thought of envy, jealousy, hatred, malice, whatever it is. When you allow that thought to stay, insecurity, when you allow it to stay, that's when it becomes sin. And you allow it to take up residence. Capacity. See, I think so often we allow things to stay in our lives that are actually the things that are holding us back. So let me ask you this question. What in your life needs to go? What in your life, let me ask it this way, needs to stay in your 2018 and not go with you in your 2019? Let me ask it this way. Who in your life needs to stay in your 2018 and not go with you in your 2019 so that you can make way? Yeah, I got it all. Oh, wait, there's one more in there. See, there's always one hiding. Right? Mindsets, thoughts, habits. Come on, somebody. Should I stop and talk about habits, or do we know what I'm talking about? I think we get it, right? What habits are in your life right now that are hurting your life and not helping your life that need to go? Or let me say that don't need to go with you in your 2019, but need to be left here in 2018. Only you can answer that question. Only you can. I can't answer that for you because I'm not you. The enemy will always try and lease space in your life. Bad habits will always try and lease space in your life. The wrong people will always try and rent space. You have the power to let them stay or to reject them. But what if they're already there? Guess what? With Jesus, you have the power to evict them. Y'all gots to go. Because I'm not about to allow my life any longer to not experience the supernatural blessing that God has for me in 2019. I know He's got a lot tucked into that year. He's got a lot to pour into me, and I want to clear the way so that I can have as much of Him as I can to be the resource I draw on to get me to the goals He puts in my heart to have so I can cross those finish lines. You have the power to evict Him. Right now you do. But before you evict Him, you got to identify Him. And that's how I want to close the service right now. It's 12:07, and I want to take 5 minutes before you go. Five or so. And just allow you. I want to ask Tim if he would to come. Just to, in the presence of the Lord right here, just ask Him a question. You ask Him a question. This ain't a question that you got to ask with your voice. He created you in your innermost being, meaning He hears the slightest thought you think. Just ask Him right there in your mind's eye, God, what in my life needs to go? What in my life needs to remain in 2018 and not go with me in 2019? What habits, what mindsets, what people? You see, some of you are believing for some big things. a good marriage, a great marriage. Some of you are believing for financial freedom. Some of you believe in just for strength in your faith walk, victory over sin. I could keep going. And the things that are holding you back from that, maybe it's not persistence. Maybe it's the things that you've allowed to remain in your life that have held you back from that. My God. So would you do this right now? As your pastor, I just encourage you right now just to close your eyes. And to, even if you just need to get a piece of paper out, use an offering envelope or whatever you need to, or, you know, a pen if there's one around you. Or maybe you just need to pull out your phone like I'm about to do and just open up your notes app and just type. Come on, this is how believers grow right here. When we just build a platform for the voice of God to come in and lead us. And just ask the question right there in your heart, right there in your mind. God, what needs to go from my life? What am I not to take into 2019? Ask him that question and then don't say nothing. Just sit there. And he'll start to put things right there. Things will come up in your mind's eye. He'll start making statements. People, he'll start to put. And when it starts coming in, start writing it down. Start writing it down. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Would you do that now? Come on. God, what in my mind? Let's take a few moments. I want to encourage some of you are probably hearing some pretty hard stuff from the Lord and you don't want to write it down. I'm telling you, write it down. Write it down. He's telling you that for a reason. And some of you are just, maybe even it's a person and you're just like, how can this be? Listen, God is not trying to hurt you. He only has the best of intent for your life, and this is a moment where you need to be encouraged to trust the intent of his voice, because he's asking you to remove something so that he can give you something bigger and better and more beautiful and blessed than you can ever imagine. Just trust his voice in this moment and respond to his voice. Come on, don't allow the temptation for yourself to dilute it or compromise it or water it down. Write down what he shares with you. What I mean by that is I feel like the Lord is sharing with you to remove certain things that you're addicted to. And instead of writing that thing down, we've compromised to say, well, I'll only do it this many times. Listen, don't allow what he's saying for you to remove to remain in your life. Remove it and watch what God does in place of it. Just a moment remaining here. Father, just speak to your people. Speak to your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know. We're not done with this question. I believe this is a question that needs to be asked regularly. But be intentional and being serious about asking this question to the Lord several times before this new year hits. Because I'm telling you, I don't say this word stronger just to be something to sell a series. I believe God has stronger for your life. And to get that, he's going to carve away some weaknesses, some weak things. And I just can't wait to see what he does in and through your life. I'll tell you, for me, one of the things, and I wrote down a few things the Lord was saying, tell them. And I'm like, I don't want to tell them that. Ain't none of their business. But one of them was, he's like, tell them, you know. One of them was excessive cell phone usage. How many know, like, just we live in a world where these are just stuck to us now, right? And it's just, I remember in the 90s when early in my marriage, Missy would go shopping. She would spend ungodly amount of hours just perusing through stores. And I just sat there, uncared for as a husband. I'm just kidding. But just sit there and just waiting, you know, and I was bored, you know. And because I'm one of those guys, I go in, I know what I'm getting, and I want to leave, right? I've turned to not be that so much now, but, you know, that was me then. But it was in those times of boredom where the voice of the Lord would speak. He would just speak to me because my mind was just open. It was a platform for his voice. But now today, how many know she could go shopping for 4 hours, and as long as I get this, I'm set, right? Because I just got something to fill my mind with. And I think sometimes we put too much in front of his voice, and we don't allow him to speak to us like he should. And the Lord was saying, I don't want you to have that in front of me next year. Another thing, it was just my addiction to junk food. Man, I love junk food. Amen. I mean, but it started, how many know, it's just habits. There are habits that need to go from my life, and one of those habits is junk food. I'm telling y'all, I can dominate some junk food. I did great. I started a weight loss in August. I lost 30 pounds up until Thanksgiving. And then how many know, you just let yourself slip just a little bit, and you're on this slippery slope. All of a sudden, you start gaining 10, 15 pounds back. I was like, anybody ever see the movie Venom yet from Marvel? Like, that was me through my house on Christmas break over the last week. I'm stealing from my kids the candy that I bought them for Christmas. You know, I'm hiding it from my son as I go into his room, hiding the honey buns and Swiss rolls. What are you looking at? I'm in your room, you know? I stole from my 3-year-old. Just something like a cocaine addict just in my house, just looking for anything with sugar in it, you know? So thank you guys so much for all the Christmas cookies that you guys got for me and my family. It's sort of be, I'm just kidding. No, I did love it. But it's just to a place where it's like God just started to speak to me things. If you ever want to get to where you need to go, there's some things that need to go. So just allow him to, man, lead you in this. And I encourage you to get with other people that you trust and share what it is that God has shown you. And we got to be careful in that, because we can get real religious real quick by thinking that what God told me is what he told you too. Listen, what he spoke to you is your personal conviction. That's not for everybody else to live out. But just allow people into what it is that's going on in your life and say, would you help me? Just, man, check in on me. Make sure, pray with me so that I can be strong enough to carve these things away from my life so that I can allow God to be the fullness experience that I know he wants to be. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.